The Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Judeans, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and in my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered Jesus, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Now on this day we have heard the story of Thomas, the twin, also known as Doubting Thomas. A New Zealand poet named Janet Marsh imagined what Thomas would have to say today about his legacy and his nickname, Doubting Thomas. Her poem is called "The Rehabilitation of Thomas," and she writes, "Click, etched in a nanosecond, an unbecoming portrait, Doubting Thomas. Would you like to be a snapshot, stilled in time, developed in a dark room of anxiety? But Thomas says, 'Why me? Why not Doubting Martha, or Peter, or Judas? May I request that with new century lenses, you recapture me, re-digitalize my image, for I am the one who was unafraid to question the one, I was the one who exposed his fears and through them knew redemption. May the blessing of honest Tom be your camera." I love Thomas's new name. Yeah. It's clapping. Honest Tom. In our time, we know that, in fact, we can easily be re-digitalized. We can apply filters and delete bad selfies. And we can curate our feeds so that we look and sound exactly how we want to be perceived. At the same time, we are becoming more and more aware that nothing ever really disappears in the digital world. And this means that, like Thomas, you may become defined by that one bad post you made after one too many on spring break, or that video you shared, or the trip you made to that island once.
Okay.
Another reality of our digital world is that we also can become reduced to a carefully curated personality and image that people do appreciate and love and believe in, rather than being seen as a full human being with a rich and full and nearly always complicated life. For this reason, I appreciate this poem and how it helps us to open up our understanding of Thomas as a whole human being who had actually a whole life outside of the upper room. As Thomas says in this poem, why do we not talk about doubting Martha or doubting Peter? Peter, in fact, doubted Jesus at least 3 times in very public ways, and he became the rock of the church, has a whole church named after him. Martha's attitude about her sister Mary not helping in the kitchen is still how we think about her, and still I have heard and probably preached many sermons about how it's okay to have Marthas and Marys in the church. We need to be both, so it's okay to be a Martha. But Thomas, oh Thomas, he's still stuck in that moment, in that snapshot. He's still stuck in that moment, in that snapshot that folks took in that upper room. He's still doubting Thomas, right? The thing is, Thomas told the truth with great honesty, and in front of friends, he revealed his fear and his worry and his unbelief. He was, at that moment, as the poem reveals to us, he was honest Tom. Honest Tom. Even so, Thomas's friends did not abandon him. They invited him back to the party, back into the upper room. And he was there, doubts and all, when Jesus once again blasted through the locked doors. And again, at Jesus' invitation, honest Tom, who had already shared his doubts, reached out to touch Jesus' side, bravely choosing to challenge his understanding of what his friends had told him. Perhaps honest Tom, as this poet has invited us to consider, perhaps he can be our camera for these times. Perhaps honest Tom can be our guide as we encounter the surprising, the unbelievable, the outrageous, the scandalous events of our world. And I think that Thomas shows us that it is okay to change our minds. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Alleluia. There are a few scandalous things going on right now, aren't there? Wouldn't it be something if the resurrection were the only thing, the best scandal that was happening right now? If only. Some mornings I pick up my phone to read the news and I think that I roughly know what's going on. And then it's always like, but wait, there's more. But wait, there's more. And it's completely understandable for us to have doubts about what we see and hear, given what we've already experienced or seen or heard. It's okay that we have days when we are more doubting Thomas than honest Tom. Truly, that's okay. Okay, I'm gonna go a little bit in a weird direction for some of you who know me. I wonder if any of you know the story of Chuck Colson. Okay, a couple, yeah. Yeah? Some of you, no? Okay, good. Some of you do. Chuck Colson was an American attorney and political advisor who served as special counsel to Nixon from 1969 to 1970. He gained notoriety at the height of the Watergate scandal, and he was named as one of the Watergate Seven. He was once described as the evil genius behind an evil administration And I would remind you that the Holy Scripture tells us there is nothing new under the sun. Amen? I don't want to wade into the waters of the Watergate scandal today, but what I find compelling about this story is Colson's conversion during his 7 months in prison. Although he had grown up in a Christian environment, he saw something new in Jesus through those months in prison. And he wrote this: "I know the resurrection is a fact, and Watergate proved it to me." Mm-hmm. How? Because 12 men testified they had seen Jesus raised from the dead, then they proclaimed that truth for 40 years, never once denying it. Everyone was beaten, tortured, stoned, and put in prison. They would not have endured that if it were not true. Watergate embroiled 12 of the most powerful men in the world, and they couldn't keep alive for 3 weeks. You're telling me 12 apostles could keep alive for 40 years? Absolutely impossible. Now, I'm not preaching today to make Chuck Colson a saint, but I am trying, hopefully, to proclaim the good news that it is okay to tell the truth. And it is okay, like Chuck and like Thomas, to change your mind. Hear that again. It's okay to change your mind about things. It's not only okay, but actually the whole point of the resurrection, and dare I say of being a Christian, that we see things in a different way. Because Christ is risen, we are not held hostage to one moment in time. Amen? We are not held hostage at the moment of the cross. The prophet says, "See, I am doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it?" Alleluia, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. The thing is about Chuck Colson, and again, my father-in-law, who is a retired evangelical pastor, will be so excited that I preached about him today. The thing about Chuck Colson is that once he believed it for others. He believed it for other people. Once he saw Christ in a new way for himself, he shared it. Released from prison, Chuck Colson founded a nonprofit for others coming out of prison. He told his story, and that became a book, and then that became a movie. I haven't watched it. Have any of you watched that movie? It's called Born Again. But the point is, once he believed it, again, for himself, he believed it for others. He told others his story. He told Jesus' story, wounds and all. Thomas, who was called the twin, who is most often known as Doubting Thomas, struggled to believe the story his friends were telling, but when he saw Jesus' wounds and heard his voice, he came to believe. Jesus said, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen me and still have come to believe." Blessed are those who have not seen me and still have come to believe. Dear ones, I believe our call as followers of Jesus in this time is to show others our doubts and our wounds and our scars, our whole selves. For this is how people may come to believe and trust in God. People do not come to faith through power and might. We will not build the beloved community through bombs. I would note that in our building plans here at UniLU, varied as they are, none of them include a plan for a wall around the church. Amen? People come to faith. People decide to make change when they see others sharing their whole selves. People listen when we share our stories of doubt, our Thomas stories. Today I feel encouraged by Honest Tom. and all of the saints who have gone before us, including Honest Chuck, who said, "I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord." Have you seen the Lord? Yeah, thank you. We have seen the Lord, amen?
Amen.
We have seen the Lord, amen?
Amen?
Louder for the people in the back. We have seen the Lord, amen?
Amen?
Amen. Say it loud. Say it plain. Share yourselves. This is what we are called to do. In the spirit of Thomas. Alleluia, Christ is risen.